This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, we're going to get to 4th and 1. Also, yeah, man, No Man's making its return today. Day-Day is going to take that over. He's got some things for us. I'm looking forward to that. 404-726-0929, that is the number for you to join us. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. And Mike made his way back from Miami, was down there, what, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Good time, fun time. Yeah, man, it was great weekend for the race. It was fun because the Panthers, obviously, in the playoffs, people in Fort Lauderdale where I was staying are still bananas. You see a lot of Panthers flags down as you go downtown in Las Olas and on boats and missing hockey. Speaking of hockey, our long-lost Atlanta Thrashers had one of the great moments of recent NHL history, if you didn't see it. I know we don't really follow Winnipeg, but for some Thrasher fans near and dear, one of the great comebacks. We'll talk more about that in a guy talk later in the 4 o'clock hour. But, yeah, man, it's kind of fun where hockey is still, there's a passion for it. I mean, you know, people always say, Carl, like, it works in the Sun Belt, just not when you have terrible owners like we had in Atlanta.
Yeah, put a good product together, good ownership group. I do think if we get a chance to get it back, and it feels like we are, don't know the timetable on that, that we're going to be, it'll be a lot better this time around. Hey, man, we'd love to hear from you. Braves, again, currently 5-11 against teams with a 500 record or better. That includes the Dodgers. So that's why we continue to talk about it. Guy hit me up. He says, man, y'all sound down on the Braves. No, not down. I'm actually very excited that they've been able to bounce back. But there is a reality to this. Now, if you're telling me Strider and Acuna are going to put us again over the top and put us back in a position where you feel like we're better than the Dodgers, then that means they're having hell of a seasons, okay?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. You know, Strider's got to come back and, you know, be careful and stretch out before you have a catch in the outfield. I mean, I get it. I know it's embarrassing to him, and he was very angry and understandably because he's a competitive guy. But I mean, he's got to hit the ground running. You know, that's the thing. Now you're gonna rehab and then stretch it out, blah blah blah. So now, how long before he's effective? Okay, that's the question. Effective. Same thing goes for Ronald Acuna. Shout out to Jim, who I was sitting next to on the flight up here from Fort Lauderdale this morning. Big Braves fan. And he goes, you guys, he asked me, because, you know, we're supposed to have secret sauce on this. When is Ronald coming back? I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows when he's coming back. And same thing goes for him. When he comes in, is he going to hit the ground running? And it's not like Ronald shows and goes, everybody get on my back. But right. That's what you're kind of needing.
Well, yeah.
Along with Austin Riley.
Well, it's almost like fans feel like, and look, there's no bigger Ronald Acuna fan guy than me. But he's not going to hit a home run every time up. He's not going to get a triple every time up. Like, that's the thing. As good as he can potentially be, I just need Ronald to be Ronald. I don't need him to try to do more, but we'll get more into this coming up because that's the issue. It's not that we're down on the Braves. Braves salvage a game. All right, good Dodgers team comes into town. You knew it was going to be a tough struggle.
A little more aggressive on the base pass with Michael Harris, something you and I have been talking about. So that's, you know, I'd like to see Snicker release the hounds. Let him do some things on the base pass.
All right, man. Dom, let's get to a 4th and 1.
It's time for 4th and 1 on Dukes and Bell.
First down, let's get this right now.
All the NFL news and notes you need as we drive for the touchdown on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, May 20th, 21st, big day, because that's when the NFL owners are going to meet in Minneapolis. Now, why is that a big day? Because it means that they tabled the tush-push conversation, and it's probably going to be revisited. Right. And, Mike, there are several owners who are opposed to allowing this play to continue, all right? However you want to view it, whatever you think it is or what it could be or why don't we run it,
right.
The bottom line is it's going to take 24 of the 32 owners to vote for a ban of the tush push. But right now it feels like there are a lot of owners who want to ban it.
Albert Breer, who writes Monday Morning Quarterback, took over for Peter King. He says when they table something like this and they continue it, it means Goodell wants to kill it. So basically Roger Goodell and his minions, Carl, at Park Avenue want to kill this play. Has anybody – I've never seen the tush push and then all of a sudden seen an opposing player or anybody on the Eagles suddenly writhe in pain somewhere between the hash marks. So the player safety concern is complete BS.
No, there's no numbers.
You've made
that.
A better mousetrap. You've come up with something innovative, and either other teams don't have their own imagination or feel, I don't know, too much ego as an offensive coordinator to copycat what the Eagles are doing. You can put a big dude. If your quarterback isn't as muscular as Jalen Hurts, there's dudes you can use. Tight ends, you know, running backs. You know, there's ways you could pull this play off, especially for teams like the Falcons who always struggle in short yardage.
I just don't like how boring it makes the game.
Well, and that playoff NFC Championship sequence was awful.
Yes, and that's my only pushback. If you run the tush push, run the tush push. That's fine. I just don't want to see it six times from the 4-yard line right. in the red zone.
So, but here's the thing: you're going to say you can only use your tush push once in every series?
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's why I think they're going to ban it.
Oh, it's gone. I think it's gone.
And I think the owners realize, all right, this doesn't help the overall product or the aesthetics of the game. We'll see. That's the big date. Meanwhile, let's hear Peter King. Talk about this Belichick situation. And by the way, let me say this, because you guys are funny. I've gotten all kind of comments. I told Day-Day this. We posted that segment we did last week on Bill Belichick. I've gotten more response from people being upset. Why are you picking on Belichick? All the different things. And the funniest part about this, Mike, is the audacity of some people to say, you know, it's his private life. When it's other people's private lives, you guys want to be all in it. The part about this is we've never known about his private life. And now it's public. That is why we discussed it, and that's why everybody's talking about it, including Peter King.
This is a guy who owned every room he ever walked into, and now he's got a 24-year-old muse telling him what to do or trying to control situations that, quite frankly, she has nothing to do with or should have nothing to do with. Bill's got to get a hold of himself here.
Whoa!
He's got to get a hold of this situation. This is embarrassing.
Hey, great for Peter King, the dean of football journalism.
Thank you.
In America to
but
say
But Dukes
it.
And Bell says that. Oh, you guys.
No, because you still got the Belichick jock sniffers out there. Don't really. He's lost his freaking mind, and now he's got to reach out to a public relations firm to fix this. Because it looks bad. Look, there's and another thing, and Peter King brought this up earlier. Why are you wearing a raggedy shirt? We know you wear shirts with holes in them. You're on CBS television. You look like you just rolled out from under your garage doing an oil change. I mean, you look like a mental patient. I'm sorry, you just do. It's like the wheel. And Peter King just eloquently put it. This is a guy who had complete control of every single aspect of his team, personal life, and now he's just like, got some young stuff, but he's lost his damn mind.
No comment. That is Peter King. Meanwhile, Mike, Howie Roseman, before we play the soundbite, you were talking about the potential reach for James Pierce Jr.
Right. Now, again, I liked Mike Green. So, by the way, Mike Green speaking with the media in Baltimore, and a lot of folks saying, look, show me the criminal charges. Show me what the heck this guy was supposed to have. We're not saying something didn't happen, but is it enough to forestall his career? You know what I mean? Because they're treating this guy like that punter from San Diego State, who later we found out wasn't involved in the situation. Yep. Everyone said he was, and basically ruined his draft stock. But anyway, I'm sorry. I wanted Green. There were other players out there we had talked about. But either way, some folks, as a matter of fact, most folks in the NFL still think it was a reach for us to go for Pierce and give as much as we did to get there to do it.
Look, the day after when we were up there, and I said to you, because I can share this, I said, today is not the day. I'm happy that we drafted Edge. We needed it. Mike and I got a chance to talk to him. But I also said to Mike, he's like the 7th or 8th best edge rusher on a lot of people's boards. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't come in here and make a difference. It doesn't mean that he's not a player. But when you start talking to other teams around the league and they're like, it's not just us saying, okay, where was he? Could we have gotten him in the 2nd round? And again, at the end of the day, now the draft's over and it doesn't matter, Mike. He's got to come in here perform. But if he doesn't, people around the NFL will be killing us because they will say, you had so many other options to help your team there, and you decided to do this. if he doesn't pan out. And that is what we have to figure out. How is he going to help this team? I think he can get, you know, they talk about the pressure rate and all this stuff.
Right.
Okay, that's great. I want to see him become, because I don't think he is, an every down edge guy on the field for you. Not only setting the edge, Mike, but also getting off the edge and getting the quarterback. I don't think he's that every day down guy right now.
I mean, could you have stayed at 46 and then moved up to get ahead of the Cowboys or anyone perceived in that second round that was going for edge? And then you could have Donovan Ezeraku. You know, and again, I think once you got Jalen Walker, I felt in the mind, if you were worried about winning the PR battle or just you either fell in love, you had to get edge specific, you could have done anything you wanted with that second pick. But I just, to me, our general manager, and look, if a guy pans out, great. But right now, it sure looks like tunnel vision. They were locked on a guy, and as Carl and I said it, when you're interviewing a young man, everybody handles the situation differently. You know, he's learning to handle the media. But Jalen Walker comes in, he's like a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. It's tough to have anybody in that room after Jalen Walker, because Jalen Walker's like the guy you want your daughter to date, the guy you want leading your football team, everything about Georgia's, you know, and Kirby's ethos embodied in one person. And then Pierce is kind of a shy, soft-spoken. I mean, he doesn't mean he can't rip somebody's head off as an edge rusher. But you understand why the concerns about maturity were cropping up when you looked at his draft profile.
And that was the concern. Again, they said they did an extensive, you know, background check, blah, blah, blah. They met with mom. Cool. We're going to have to wait and see. But I will tell you guys, I need killers. And I'm not worried about Jalen Walker.
Right.
I'm just not. The size thing, I told you, that's always a concern in the NFL because you play big men. These are big, strong, grown men. So you do need size. But if he's handled that in the best college conference in the country and became one of the top players in the country, well, hell, he can handle it here. Let that go.
Right.
But I need killers to be a different kind of defense, Mike. And I'm not sure right now with where I'm at with James Pierce if he's that guy. And I'm not picking on him. I'm telling you, I love the Xavier Watts pick. The Billy Bowman kid, I don't know enough about him. Texas guys were telling me, dude is really legit.
Right.
So, okay, great. They saw him the last 3 years or whatever. He was like a three-year starter at Oklahoma. He's a playmaker. Great. We maybe got a steal there. But this is the pick that everybody's going to talk about.
And I know that as far as the other guys, the undrafted free agents, it's a good read. I know the Athletic's behind a paywall. But our buddy Josh Kendall did a deeper dive on everybody that we signed, Carl, as an undrafted free agent, including Nick Nash and the numbers that he put up as far as the 40. Very similar to what Puka Nacua ran. So all of a sudden now, if this guy can get some traction, you know, look, we've had the great white hype come through his wide receiver chances in camp and never make the 53-man roster, not even make the practice squad. But this guy, he's 26. That's one's going to be very curious to see. But getting back to your point about Pierce, as we said, guys, here's what the people are saying, and then you hear what Howie Roseman has to say, and he's like, well, we're trying to get back in the back of the first round. Wow. No wonder we can't do it, because the Falcons are giving up everything to do it.
Here's Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles.
Atlanta coughs up a second tomorrow night, a seventh on Saturday, and a first rounder next year.
Wow, they traded their one.
First next year.
Who did?
For what?
Atlanta.
When?
For what? Just the pick?
No,
first and a third.
Two and a one.
Understand why people aren't taking our pick, our deals.
Now, are they laughing?
And that's in the war room, of course,
correct,
on draft night.
Correct. Good point. But are they laughing with us or at us?
I think it's at us.
Because when he says, oh, well, you know, no wonder nobody's taking our picks. And then the reaction in the Eagles war room is, we were trying to get back in there. Obviously, we weren't giving up enough. And the reaction is, they gave up too much.
Right.